Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we play our conversation with Patrick Mahomes, I just want to randomly share some thoughts with you guys that I had about Buffalo Bills fans. Because I am just guessing. I'm just predicting. Being a Buffalo fan, it just doesn't sound like it's very fun. Let me tell you why I don't think it's very fun. Number one, Buffalo, New York has one claim to fame. One. There's one thing that the rest of the world knows Buffalo for. Everybody at this point has stolen it. Like, you've gone to other places that sell barbecue, and you realize that it doesn't taste anything like the barbecue we have here in Kansas City. I always say this about Kansas City. What makes Kansas City barbecue to me the best in the world is how deep and versatile the roster is. That a place like Slaps or LC's or Big T's, if you took those restaurants and put them in another city, it'd be the most popular restaurant in the city. It will be life-changing, world-changing. We've never had anything like this. And I would say respectfully to those places, those are tier two barbecue places because tier one is so top-heavy, so loaded, so competitive. I don't care what other city you are. You can't make Kansas City barbecue. Everybody can make buffalo wings. It's just a sauce. The recipe's right there. Add a little bit of hot sauce, a little bit of this, a little bit of this. I don't even think buffalo is the best flavor. I don't even know now if you are doing an American ranking of where to get the best wings. I don't think buffalo would be number one on that list. I don't think it would be number one. So think about this. If you were known for one thing and then the rest of the world just stole your sauce and now we give other cities more credit for the wing and what they've done, I would walk around angry too. When you think about how we talk about Buffalo tailgating, it's always under the guise of, hey, those people are crazy. Kansas City is known for tailgating. Lambeau is known for tailgating. There's plenty of other places that tailgate. The feeling in the rest of the country is not that the tailgaters at Arrowhead are crazy. That's how we feel about Buffalo fans. And you think, you got to do this to entertain yourself. You want to know why? You live in Buffalo. Every time you see a Buffalo tailgate, it ain't people just hanging out, having a couple beers, fellowshipping with their fellow Bills fans. No, they're being Al Snow and Jeff Hardy in the parking lot. I don't know what kind of alcohol you got to be on that would make you want to pile drive your friend through a table. I don't understand it. That's a mentality that I don't get. We can't just throw the football. We can't play bags. We can't play washers. Like, no, you want to play AEW wrestling? That's the game you want to play? You think you're about to pile drive me and then we're going to walk in together to go watch the football team? Absolutely not. Another thing that makes it sound really awful to be a Buffalo Bills fan, at least once or twice a year, the team asks you to come work for them for basically no money. How many times do we see a snowstorm happen in upper New York, and then we get the, oh, well, the Bills, they're offering $15 in hot chocolate to come shovel snow. No! Who's signing up for this activity? Doesn't sound like it would be very fun to be a Buffalo Bills fan. This might be the biggest reason why it doesn't sound fun. Just, you really got to look at it through their perspective. In the 1990s, they had a Hall of Fame quarterback. A Hall of Famer. Jim Kelly, USFL college legend, one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. They went to four straight Super Bowls. If there is any organization that should understand how hard it is to just get to one Super Bowl, but to keep going back and back and back, it's the people I'm talking to right now. You know how hard it is. They went to four of these in a row. They lost every single one. Heartbreaking fashion. At least when the Chiefs lose in the Super Bowl, they don't make you think they can win going into the fourth quarter. They're really considerate about your time. They know you got to work tomorrow. So heading into that fourth quarter, you can go ahead and kiss grandma on the cheek and start getting the kids ready to get in the car. You don't got to watch the fourth quarter when the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But the Bills, they make you believe, and then they miss a field goal or a fumble, and it just, they rip your heart out. So this was the Bills' whole 90s existence. The entire 90s, Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame running back, Hall of Fame head coach, Hall of Fame defensive end, Hall of Fame wings, losers. Losers. Just kept losing. Generational losers. Then they go to the 2000s. So after they have a Hall of Fame quarterback, the next quarterbacks, they can never figure it out. They had like Alex Johnson and Doug Flutie and EJ Manuel and just a bunch of them. They just had a bunch of different quarterbacks. While you're in the midst of this, you are in a division with another team that just kicks your teeth in repeatedly for 20 years. Every time, beat the hell out of you. And you're thinking, man, you know what? One day we're going to get our revenge. One day, we're going to be able to do this to somebody else. And you know what? That happened. It really did. Buffalo went from being picked on in their division for 20 years to now, they're the team that does the bullying. So imagine if you're that Buffalo Bills fan that you spent your entire childhood waiting until we get our own quarterback, waiting until we get our own quarterback. Man, I can't wait till we get our own quarterback. And then you finally get him. And then you're thinking, all right, we're finally going to go to the Super Bowl. And wait, you have to go up against Tom Brady all over again. And all the same feelings that you had in the 90s, all the same feelings that you had in the 2000s, they have now come back in a different form, and you keep losing to the same people every single season. It has to stink to be a Bills fan. It can't be fun. How can it be fun? You got a sprained neck because you got pile drive through a table, and then you watch Patrick Mahomes take his team down the field and score a touchdown against you in 13 seconds. You got to be heartbroken to be a Bills fan. It's a form of mental illness to cheer for them. Why would you sign up for this? I was really thinking about this. It can't be fun to cheer for Buffalo. I mean, it's not the worst team you can cheer for, but it might be pretty close to the top. I don't see a whole lot of positives in cheering for the Buffalo Bills. It can't be fun.
Being a Bills fan is the personification of the argument we've had a bunch on this show about fandom. Is it better to be a fan of a team that is consistently just terrible? Or is it better to be a fan of a team where they get your hopes up every year and they fall just short? Basically, would you rather be a Browns fan or a Bills fan? And I would contend that being a Browns fan, while it's terrible, you never get your hopes up. You never have expectations. So the losses, they can't really hurt you because you expect them. You, every day, local fans will understand this. Kim Anderson basketball fans, KU football fans pre-David Beatty, you never expected to win. So the losses, they rolled off your back. Being a Bills fan is being filled with hope. You're Charlie Brown. I'm going to kick the football finally. And every single solid time, you don't. And you fall short. And it is heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak. You are always so close. That fandom to me feels way worse than being a Browns fan, where you just go every year being like, it's vibes for 18 weeks, and then we get to watch Ohio State at the same time. I Bills fans must be miserable.
Can you just imagine? I'm just, this is just my hypothesis. You just walk around your entire life knowing that you're not good enough. Like, part of the foundation of being a child is you being taught that if you work hard enough and do exactly what you're supposed to do, that everything is going to work out for you in the end. If you listen to your parents and do your homework and study and be a good boy, that one day life is going to reward you. I imagine that's how Josh Allen has lived his whole life. He seems like a very swell individual, you know? He's turned into an NFL superstar. He's dating one of the most popular actresses in the world. He's won NFL MVP. He's been on the cover of Madden. We don't have any scandal around Josh Allen. Josh Allen has done everything he is supposed to do. Can you imagine walking around every day and you don't feel like you're good enough? Because that's how the Bills have to walk around. I got 40 years of data showing you will never be good enough. You weren't good enough to beat Troy Aikman. You weren't good enough to beat Washington. You weren't good enough to beat San Francisco. You aren't good enough to beat the Patriots and Tom Brady. You're not good enough to beat Patrick Mahomes. You just got 30 years of just not being good enough. It just can't be fun. It can't be. I'm serious. It has to be a miserable feeling every day to wake up as a Bills fan. And then you convince yourself. You start talking to yourself. Oh, this year's going to be different. Oh, we got Keon Coleman. Oh, we got Khalil Shakir. Oh, hey, we just got Von Miller. You always think that one player is the move that's going to get you over the hump. No, that player is just another player that signed up for a career being dominated by Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady or Troy Aikman. You're just stuck in Groundhog's Day with Bill Murray. Every single day being a Bills fan, it just doesn't sound fun. You know what does sound fun? Hit me, Rob!
He's QB1.
And at quarterback from Texas Tech, number 15, Patrick Mahomes!
He's a three-time Super Bowl champion.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet.
Two-time MVP and three-time Super Bowl MVP.
Patrick Mahomes with Mahomes magic. Starting left, peeling right. Three drives, three touchdowns for the Chiefs.
And you can hear him right here every week with CDOT. Exclusively on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
Every week we are happy to be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. And his appearance on the show is brought to you by our friends at Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today. How do you and your family handle Halloween? I'm guessing that neighborhood knows that this is your house. People like to come up to your house. How do you and Brittany handle Halloween? How do you handle trick-or-treaters?
Most of the time we are the trick-or-treating, just with the kids and stuff like that. So while we're doing that, we usually put the bowl of candy out on the front patio or the front porch, whatever you want to call it. And so that's how we usually roll with it. And by the time we get home, it's usually all gone. So I don't know if that's one person taking it all or if that's a lot of people coming by the house.
What kind of candy are you guys divvying out? Are you guys getting like king size candy bars? Are you getting like those little variety packs and just, hey, you can grab a handful of it? How are you guys handling giving out the candy?
It's a mixture of both. You know, we do the variety packs, but we also do some of the king size stuff as well. And so I want everybody to have a good time, and I want everybody to get everything they want. So I try to keep it mixing it up every year and as many options as possible.
All right. So I have six candies that I want to go through with you really quickly. I want you to tell me if you would give these candies a thumbs up or a thumbs down and why you feel that way. Let's start with gummy bears. Where are you at?
Yeah, I can do gummy bears. Just depends, you know. But it's not my favorite, but I can do it for sure.
All right, where are you at with a York peppermint patty?
That's a thumbs down for me. I'm not a big peppermint fan.
How about Whoppers? You know those like little chocolate milk balls. I like them, but they're very controversial. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Yeah, if it's the only option I had, I'd give it a thumbs up.
Candy corn.
Definitely. I actually had this discussion the other day with some guys. It's like only Halloween once or twice, thumbs up. Rest of the year, thumbs down.
All right, two final candies here. First up, lemon heads.
That's a thumbs down for me.
Last one, yellow starburst.
Yellow starburst. I mean, you got to eat the yellow starburst to appreciate the red and the pink. So I mean, you got to eat the yellow and the orange. So got to give it a thumbs up. It's not as good as the other ones, but it plays its part.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Let's take a look back really quickly before we move on to you guys' game on Sunday against the Bills. You guys started this homestand under 500 with a very important Sunday night football game against the Lions. You guys had an incredible homestand. You guys had your opponents 89-24. What are you most proud of? What was the most impressive for you, given how you guys played this homestand?
Yeah, I think it's just the progression of getting better and better, offense and defense and special teams, everybody. It's got better while we were at home, and we had Arrowhead on our side, and so we have to continue that. You know, we played some good football teams, and we've gotten better as the season's going on, but we're going to have a nice stretch of games starting off with Buffalo, and it's going to be a tough environment. So we got to continue to get better and try to find a way to win this game in a tough environment.
One thing that you told me a couple of weeks ago when we were having a conversation was about the wide receiver room and how much guys really like each other. I've been really paying attention to that, and you can just get a sense of it, man. Guys really like playing for each other. Guys like seeing other guys have success. It feels like the camaraderie is very high right now amongst the team. It feels like the chemistry and confidence is also very high amongst the team as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it speaks to just the culture that we've kind of built here, and guys like each other, and they want to go out there and win, and they want everybody to succeed. And so that's not going to happen every single game that everybody's going to get all the catches or all the yards or whatever it is. But I think if you just play your part and you get yourself open whenever you get the opportunities, the football's going to come your way, and then you'll be able to go out there and make an impact in the game.
You can't really call anything automatic, but it feels like Kareem Hunt on third and short or fourth and short, it's become almost as automatic as anything in the league right now.
Yeah, no, he's doing a great job, man. I mean, he does a great job of finding the soft spots in the run and getting through there and getting the yards. You know, that's not an easy thing to do, and I think it's a weapon that we have is having him in those situations. And the offensive line's doing a great job giving him space to run with.
I also feel like that's just changed some of the philosophy amongst the team. One thing we were talking about on the show yesterday was, you know, you guys had fourth and one from your side of the field. I feel like in years past, you guys potentially punt in that situation. It didn't feel like there was any hesitation. It felt like everybody had a lot of confidence in that offensive line and also Kareem to pick up the 1 or 2 yards.
100%. And I said this after the game. I mean, it's confidence in Kareem in the offensive line, and it's also confidence in our defense that they're going to get stops if it doesn't work out. And so I think it speaks to the confidence of the entire team and the coaches have in us that we're going to go out there and make it happen. And if the slight chance that we don't, the defense is going to get the stop and get the ball right back to us.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. I got to ask you about Travis. He ties the record. Very special moment at Arrowhead. How cool is it to see him have that moment? And you talk about the hard work that guys put in. This is the guy that's been doing it for a decade now.
100%, man. I mean, he comes to work every single day with the right attitude. And one of the main leaders, if not the leader of this football team. And he's a guy that practices harder than anybody. Has a smile on his face, keeping guys motivated and ready to go. And so he's deserving of having these type of records broken, and that comes with the work that he puts in every single day.
Let's move ahead to Sunday's matchup against the Buffalo Bills. This is the 10th time that you guys will have played the Bills. It just feels like every year this game always means a whole lot. It's always really important, and it usually feels like it's around this time in the calendar.
Yeah, it is. It's always like late October, early November when we play, and it's kind of the season's rolling, and you know where everybody's kind of at in the standings and everything like that. And so we know it's going to take our best effort. I think that's what I've learned about every single matchup that we have is it always comes down to the end, and it's two great football teams going up against each other, and it's going to be one play here or there. It's going to change the outcome. And so it's just about making those plays, staying motivated, staying up to the task, and going out there and playing your best football at the right time and making those big plays in the big moments.
I'm sure you've heard this comparison a million times, but, you know, you and I are from the same era of watching football. You know, every year you circled Brady against Manning, and you knew whether it was Patriots-Colts or Patriots-Broncos, you knew how important that matchup was going to be. How cool is it to kind of grow up watching that rivalry and now essentially be in the middle of your own version of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really cool just being able to be in these big games and playing against the best of the best at quarterback and at teams. And so, I mean, it speaks to the work that both organizations have put in every single year to be in these big games year after year. And I think it just it speaks to the people that are in each building. So it's been a lot of fun, man. I mean, go up and playing in these big football games against these top tier quarterbacks, and having a friendship with Josh as well. It's cool to be able to go up there and know that he's going to play his best football in the big moments, and I plan on trying to do the same.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. You know, what's the relationship like between you and Josh? Because it appears you guys are very friendly, but there's also a rivalry there. You want to beat him, he wants to beat you. What's the relationship like? What's the rivalry like between you and Josh Allen?
Yeah, I mean, I think off the field, I mean, I respect the way he plays the game and the way he handles himself. And so I think off the field, we kind of have similarities as far as being interested in golf and being interested in just being around our family and competing and just being good people. And so I think that kind of tends itself to have a friendship as far as golf and stuff like that. But I mean, I know just like me, he's as competitive as ever. So when we get on the football field, it's all about going out there and finding a way to win for the football team. And so it's definitely a friendship that on game days is not a lot of talking. It's about going out there and competing.
We've talked about this before. You know, you're a part of a big three with you, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. It feels like you guys push each other. You got a couple of MVPs. Lamar has a couple of MVPs. Josh Allen has an MVP. It feels like you guys really push each other to bring the best out of one another.
Yeah, I think that's just the quarterback position these days. I mean, there's so many great quarterbacks. I mean, you see it every Sunday of all the guys that are around the league making plays happen. And you want to push yourself to be even better. And you know, if you don't, you're going to get passed up by these other guys. And it takes your best effort every single week. And so, I mean, Josh and Lamar have kind of been those guys that have pushed me every step of the way, being here the longest kind of with me. But at the same time, man, these young guys are coming hungry as ever. So it's going to take all of us to keep playing our best football to try to stay on top.
I think a lot of people, if you ask them, you know, what's their memory from this rivalry, a lot of people would say the 13-second game at Arrowhead. When I think of this rivalry, I think of when you guys went on the road in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Up to that point, you hadn't played a road playoff game. There were those conversations of what is this team going to look like. You guys go on the road and you get the tough win, and then it's that image of you running off the field, and fans are just throwing snowballs at you.
Yeah, no, the fan bases are passionate for sure. I think it's for me, I like that one more just because we won the Super Bowl that year in the 13-second game. We lose the next game. So I think it's been a lot of great games. And even the games that we've lost have come down to the very end. And I think it's a great rivalry. And we just go out there and know, like I said, it's take our best football. And you're going to have memories after the games. Hopefully they're good ones.
You just mentioned it. Where would you kind of rank the fan? I don't know if animosity is the correct term, but certainly you're not very popular there for understandable reasons. Where does it kind of rank with some of the other visiting stadiums you go into?
No, it's up there. They definitely don't like me or the Kansas City Chiefs. But, I mean, I love it. I mean, I love that, like, they're that passionate about their fans, their team, and that's what you want in sports, man. And you want to keep it hostile but at the same time safe. But at the same time, I mean – you want it to be a great environment and a great atmosphere, and you know going up to Buffalo, you're going to get a great one. Now it's about going out there and kind of bonding together with your teammates and going out there and trying to find a way to win.
Last two things here. Kansas City, they love their tailgating. I don't know if anybody loves tailgating more than Buffalo. You got to be on a different level to try to pile drive somebody through a table.
Yeah, I've never tried to do it, and I don't plan on it, but it looks like it's fun for those guys. So, I mean, they can keep doing it. It's part of their tradition.
And last thing here, you were a baseball guy. We had an 18-inning baseball game. What's the longest baseball game you've been in?
Man, I couldn't even tell you, but 18's a lot of innings. I try to stay up after the game. You know, I got my adrenaline pumping, and I get after the game. It's the ninth inning, and I turn it on, and I'm watching it kind of in the locker room, and then all of a sudden I go home, and it's the 11th inning, and I stayed up to – I was mad. I stayed up to like 1 something in the morning to the 17th inning and just passed out, fell asleep. And of course, Freddie Freeman hits a walk off in the 18th. So I missed the walk off, even though I tried to stay up for it. But it's been a great series, 2-2, and they're still in LA, and then they'll have to go back to Toronto. It's been a great series to watch.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today as we get you ready for one of the most anticipated games of the regular season, the Chiefs and the Bills. Patrick, great luck, man. We'll catch up with you after the bye week.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Every week, we are happy to be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, and his appearance on the show is brought to you by our friends at Telly Tire and Auto Centers.
Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly Certified Techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
We are halfway done with the NFL season. We'll go through the first eight games next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this question just popped in my head, literally during the commercial break. I was on social media, and Pat McAfee was asking Adam Schefter, hey, what position group is kind of hot right now? What are teams looking for? And one of the positions that came up is wide receiver. Now, the Chiefs, they kind of have a surplus at wide receiver, which – sounds kind of crazy to say, honestly, but they kind of have one right now. Rob, let me ask you this. Let's say that a team right now calls and they're willing to give you a sixth round pick that could become a fifth round pick for Tyquan Thornton. Are you trading him? I asked that question because, I mean, basically, since Rashee Rice has come back, Tyquan Thornton has just not really been a part of their offense. Do you know how many snaps he played on Sunday? Just guess.
It's got to be a low number. Let's say 16.
Five.
Oh,
Tyquan Thornton was on the field for five snaps. Now, I understand the purposes of depth and break in case of emergency, so I certainly get that. I'm not advocating if they trade him. I mean, if you keep him, it's no money. So it's not like it's a harm. No harm, no foul if he's on the roster as well. But, I mean, I he's not a part of their offense anymore. So they just had a three-game homestand, a homestand in which the offense was red hot on fire. He had one catch during the homestand. He had two targets in their last three games. Now, an injury happens. He pops back up. He's certainly reliable. He's a good break in case of emergency kind of player. But we have talked about everybody got to eat. And I think we know that sounds great. But somebody always ends up getting the short end of the stick. You got a lot of mouths to feed. You're running the ball 12 times with Isaiah Pacheco. You're giving every short yardage opportunity to Kareem Hunt. You're throwing it more to Breshard Smith. Kelsey's got to get his targets. You're throwing the ball to Rashee Rice 7 to 9 times. Xavier Worthy's got to get his. Somebody was going to be left out. I think we have our answer now of who's going to be left out. That answer is Tyquan Thornton. I think he would have a little bit of value. I think he could help a team. He could obviously help Kansas City. But if you're telling me that you're down a wide receiver right now, I'd at least be making a phone call to Kansas City to find out what Tyquan Thornton is worth. The Chiefs don't have a sixth-round pick right now because of the Joshua Uche trade last year. I'd at least, hey, you can get back into the sixth round and trade a wide receiver that you're currently not using. If I'm another team in the league, I'm at least making the phone call to see if Tyquan Thornton is available for us.
If I'm Brett Veach and the phone rings and it's, I don't know what teams are looking for a wide receiver, and they say, hey, how about Tyquan Thornton? Yes, sign me up. You can have Tyquan Thornton. Because I understand the more is more conversation, you know, more. I get it. I 100% get it. But it's not like trading Tyquan Thornton means the wide receiver depth disappears. Like, I know it's a player we have mentioned zero times this year, But didn't you draft Jalen Royals to be a part of the offense at some point?
Yep.
Maybe not this year, but next year. But if you're telling me it's after week 9, which would be when the trade deadline is, if you can get a 6th-round pick or, heaven forbid, a 5th-round pick for Tyquan Thornton, you still have Hollywood, you still have Worthy, you still have Rashee Rice, you still have Juju, and if you get forced to a break glass in case of emergency situation, you have your 4th-round rookie in Jalen Royals as your 5th wideout. I am all for it. I don't know the Chiefs are going to do it. I don't know who's going to call the Chiefs about it. But if someone called to buy Tyquan Thornton, I think you have to make that move if you can get something for him, because I think at the end of the year, he's walking for nothing anyway.
Yeah, do you think I'm crazy, though? Like, I would call, if I'm another team in the league, I would absolutely call about Tyquan Thornton. He's shown you that he can play. If you look at the first 5 weeks of the season, he could certainly help a team. Think if you're a team like San Francisco, for example, that has had a lot of injuries over the last couple of weeks or so. Juwan Jennings has been hurt. Brandon Ayuk is still hurt. You miss McCaffrey, Kittle. If you're telling me right now that you add a guy like Tyquan Thornton who could instantly come in and be able to help you and be a DeMarcus Robinson type kind of player for basically no money. I mean, right now his base salary is $1.1 million. Cut that in half because we're at the midpoint of the season. Talking about $500,000 to get a proven right now healthy wide receiver who hasn't really taken a lot of punishment over the last couple of years. Now, that's an argument for why Kansas City should keep him. But if you're another team, that's a guy right now I'd be looking for. The same way that I think we were having the conversation about the Chiefs and running back, like that to me would kind of be a, hey, whose situation has changed over the last couple of weeks? Like in Carolina, you got Hubbard, but you had Rico Dowdle. You're not going to give both of them the same amount. One of their contracts is expiring. Is there a chance for you to come in, slip in, give you a nothing pick? We can instantly put that guy on a roster and feel like it's an upgrade. I feel like Tyquan Thornton is one of those players. That's a good point about Jalen Royals. Jalen Royals was the guy you spent a mid-round pick on. I haven't heard from, seen from. Is he still around? Because if you felt really good about Jalen Royals and he was trending in the positive direction, it would absolutely make Tyquan expendable.
I also am coming at this, and we've talked about this in the past, and this is an unpopular opinion by me, but I feel like you can recreate Tyquan Thornton pretty easy. Like, let's be honest. When the Chiefs signed Tyquan Thornton last year to their practice squad, me and you did not talk about it. The average fan may have referenced, hey, they have Tyquan Thornton. He didn't play last year. He wasn't active last year. He just existed. He was on the roster. Right now, they have a Tyquan Thornton type probably sitting on their practice squad. You just don't know his name. You can recreate that player pretty easy. You can trade him, get the pick, either A, use the pick to find the next Tyquan Thornton, a guy who's productive when it's injury-riddled and can help you, or B, you pick that guy up off the street. Like, Justin Watson was another guy the Chiefs have done this with. I mean, Mecole Hardman, to an extent, is a guy the Chiefs did this with. Like, his whole NFL career is thanks to the Chiefs in doing this with him. So, I am not a guy who thinks Tyquan's here for a long time, and I think you can recreate Tyquan pretty easy with other free agent or draft options, and even if you trade him, you're carrying 6 wide receivers. Because earlier I mentioned the 5. I forgot. Nico Remigio is a guy who could also play wide receiver and got wide receiver snaps this year.
They got like a bunch of those kind of guys.
You have an abundance. Tyquan Thornton seems like an easy one where you dole out and try to get something back. Now, per the conversations, how they go, the text line is now suggesting that maybe you get a 4th for him. I don't think that's outside the line of possibility. You're getting a 6th that maybe turns into a 5th. That's the dream.
Yeah, I would say that's best case scenario. Like, this is just a hypothetical. That's a best case scenario that you end up doing it. That you end up, hey, another team offers you a 6th-round pick. They're needy. And I also think, I mean, if you want the Chiefs to be players, man, having that 6th-round pick to potentially go out and get that defensive lineman that you're talking about, maybe go out and get that pass rusher, would just be a pretty valuable thing to have right now in the holster to be able to go out there and make a move. Rob, hit me with a little NFL music, and I want to go through some superlatives, some toss-ups from the first 8 weeks of the NFL season. Hit me, Rob. All right, which of these teams has been the bigger disappointment so far this season? Is it the Raiders, the Texans, the Dolphins, or the Jets? Which of these teams so far through the first 8 weeks has been the bigger disappointment? Raiders, Texans, Dolphins, Jets.
I'm going to say Raiders because I think the Jets knew they were going to be in for a hard year. I mean, it's harder than they thought, but they knew they were getting in for a hard year. The Texans are disappointing, but they can still salvage their season. They're right on the cusp of maybe becoming a thing again. And CJ Stroud looked good last week, so maybe you feel like it's been disappointing. We can turn it around. The Dolphins, many people in Miami didn't know this, but me and you knew it. Sell, sell, sell. That team was going to stink. The Raiders brought in a Super Bowl coach and an experienced quarterback with a new offensive coordinator who's won a national championship in college. There was a little bit of buzz that they might be respectable. They are not respectable. They are in the Jets Dolphins level of the NFL, and no one thought it'd be that bad. So I think the Raiders are the most disappointing of that grouping.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Raiders too, just because I thought the Raiders were going to be good this season. I'll pick a different team. I mean, we have seen the Dolphins completely erode in such a short period of time. 3 years ago, the Dolphins won 11 games and were in the playoffs and scored 70 points in an NFL regular season game. They had a losing record last year. They are now 2-6. They look like they're going to fire their head coach. I don't really know if you can justify bringing your quarterback back next season. I could certainly see them moving in a different direction. And your number one skill position player tore his knee up a few weeks ago. Like, this situation, I think, with the Dolphins went from a decent situation, not one of the better teams, but it's gotten really bad really fast in Miami. So I'll throw them in the mix. All right. In that same vein, next coach fired. Is it Mike McDaniel, Brian Daboll, Aaron Glenn, or Zach Taylor? Which one of these coaches do you think is the next one fired?
I mean, the answer is Mike McDaniel. I don't understand how he's employed right now. I mean, we get emails from BetOnline. They're like, here are the odds for, you know, first coach fired. Mike McDaniel was the easy favorite up until Brian Callahan did get fired. So him, because I'm stunned he has a job at this point.
Can you fade the music down just a little bit? I just want to play this Mike McDaniel before we get out of here, because it honestly, quite possibly, is just one of the worst quotes I've ever heard a person give. Like, if that person is supposed to lead us and supposed to get us out of whatever situation that we're in, I don't want him around. I really don't. I don't want him around. I don't think he can help us, and I think that we're going to lose. That's what it is. I think we're going to lose every game that we have.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game, honestly. And that is how you lose the game. You're moving the ball down the field. You're first and 10, and then you find yourself at second and 20. That was critical.
Okay. That guy's not turning around your franchise. I'm going to tell you that right now. Coming up on the other side, you guys think I'm the one with the controversial food opinions. This time, Rob has a controversial food opinion. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll get back to the Chiefs coming up in just a bit. If there is one thing that we like to argue about on this show, it's food, because Everybody eats. Talk sports. I mean, you eat sometimes too, don't you? I mean, while you're watching the game, you ain't snacking on nothing. You're not eating nothing. Food matters. So I don't actually, you know what? I know how it came up. Let me correct myself. I know how it came up. So we are having a work potluck is what we are having. And everybody has signed up to bring something. We got a company-wide email that Scott Parks was bringing chips and cookies. And I told him, bro, if that's what you plan on bringing, just don't bring anything. Like, that's the smallest thing that you could possibly bring. That's like if somebody says, hey, we're throwing a barbecue, and you say, I got the ice. Bro, just don't bring nothing. Just have a good attitude. Be in good spirits. You go into Hy-Vee and picking up one bag of chips and one cookies and setting on the table, you didn't really contribute to the potluck. That's how it started. So we were kind of, you know, giving them some grief about that. And then Rob said, you know what? I'm not even going to say it. I'm going to let Rob tell you what he said. The floor is yours, my friend. The floor is yours.
So first off, is Scott Parks telling us about his cookie bringing? I asked him if he's going to at least get like the little store-bought baked ones from Hy-Vee. He said no. So he leaned into the cheapness. He then said, I was going to get Chips Ahoy, to which I responded with shock because Chips Ahoy is a bad cookie. I would take Oreo 100 times out of 100 over Chips Ahoy. And I judge people severely who go down aisle 8, 9, 10, whatever at your local grocery store, and you grab that blue Chips Ahoy box and you skip right past the Oreos, which are there and superior. It's crazy person behavior that you would prefer Chips Ahoy, that crunchy monstrosity, over an Oreo cookie.
My dear lost brother, Chips Ahoy, they are a better cookie than Oreo. Whether it's the one that comes in the blue container, that's the little bit of the crunchier, harder cookie. That's not my favorite,
but I would, definitely pick up
a Chips Ahoy. And to me, it's not even close between the two. It's not close between the ones that come in the red container. For those of you that know what I'm talking about because you're a Chips Ahoy connoisseur, that's the chewy ones. Those are hands down better cookies than Oreos. So you can absolutely bring those to the function. In fact, you can bring those to any function that I am having. It doesn't matter if it's a barbecue, Thanksgiving dinner. It doesn't matter what the function is. If you're pulling up with the chewy Chips Ahoy, I need to put a couple of them on my plate. So that was disrespectful how you started it. This show doesn't have room for two people with trash food opinions, man. You got to pick your lane here. That's what you got to pick. I have already assumed this lane. Now you're trying to be in my lane?
I'm just telling you.
In fact, you know what? That might be the most to America's thing that you have decided to try to steal my idea, because it was my idea to be the one with trash food opinions on this show. And now you're trying to swoop in and claim it for your own, because you claiming that Chips Ahoy are a bottom basement cookie is a terrible opinion.
I cannot believe how wrong you are here. This is not me stealing, quote, bad food opinions from you. This is the correct opinion. If you don't have at least a gallon of milk on hand, do not even try to eat a Chips Ahoy cookie, because you might as well eat sawdust. It's that level of dry, crunch, nasty. And if you're telling me there's some secret chewy red bag to make it just palatable, well, congratulations, Chips Ahoy. You had to have a secret one, a special make and model, just to be edible. Oreos, double stuffed, regular, or if you get the colored frosting one for the different holidays. Halloween has orange, Easter has yellow. I don't know why they do this, but they make St. Patrick's Day green. If you get one of those, you are walking away a happier man because you ate Oreos. Think about it this way. If you are out at our company kitchen, they have both, by the way, and you bought cookies, do you know what is stocked full because no one has wasted their time buying it? Chips Ahoy. You know what you don't see out there because everyone's purchasing at a high level? Oreo cookies, the perfect of the store-bought brand cookies.
You want to know why Oreo has to do all the nonsense? Because it doesn't trust its original recipe.
You want to know why?
The original recipe has frosting. I'm sorry, they innovated beyond sawdust cookie.
You want to know why they have to have red velvet Oreos and birthday and pumpkin spice? You want to know why Oreo has to resort to trick plays? Because they don't feel like they can beat you with their original pass rush. That's what I mean. They don't feel like they can beat you with just the tried and true Oreos. It's a gimmick. Chips Ahoy, they don't got to do all of this nonsense. We got the hard kind and the soft kind. That's all we got. That's what we got. You want the chewy ones or you want the crunchy ones that, if not stored properly, you might chip your molars. That's all we got over there at Chips Ahoy. That's how we like it.
I can't believe, I am legitimately stunned that this is why you're known for having bad sports opinions and bad cookie opinions, because you legitimately walk down aisle 8 and you think to yourself, oh, look, Chips Ahoy, I'll get that. I'll make this horrible mistake and I'll have this trash cookie that you literally just admitted might crack your molar. You know what Oreo's never going to do? End up harming you. You're never going to walk away and be like, man, I got to go see the dentist because I have a chip in my tooth because I had an Oreo. You know what you're going to get? A fantastic dining experience with a little crunch of the chocolate cookie and a little bit of the vanilla frost. It's just, it's a perfect combination.
Yeah, someone on the text line makes a good, you know what? Oreos are a system quarterback. That's what it is. It's a system-wide receiver. It needs milk. You don't need milk with your Chips Ahoy. They're a standalone product. You can fit Chips Ahoy in any offense. It can run any offense. Whatever you need it to do. Oreos are only good if you got a decent thing of milk with it. I'm telling you, that's just, you know what Oreos are? They're Danny Amendola. They're a good player. But you got to play with Brady. You got to play with Mahomes. You got to play with Peyton Manning in order to make it work. Chips Ahoy's or Calvin Johnson. Put me in any offense, any system. It don't matter. Just throw the ball up, and I'm going to make a play because that's what Chips Ahoy's do. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the Chiefs. We'll get back to football. We'll start getting you ready for Sunday's matchup against the Bills. But before we, I think, get you ready for the Bills, I've got a hypothetical question to ask you guys. If you could change one thing about the first half of the Chiefs season that is not related to Rashee Rice's suspension, what would it be? If you could change one thing about the first 8 games for the Chiefs, what would you change? I'll tell you my answer next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.